Tonight we're going to learn about parts of tefillah that are really incredibly, incredibly meaningful and timely for the week that we find ourselves in. Obviously, we are in, time of Bein HaMetzarim, and even more, we're in, of course, the time of the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, just a few days from Tisha B'Av itself. And we wanted to learn together just a very short tefillah, and then another one that's a little bit more famous. The short tefillah is right after Hagomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael. And I always bring a sitter for our learning to learning together. But after Hagomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, there's a short tefillah. Short tefillah. Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokai V'Elokei Avosai. Shatatzilena hayom v'chol yom, may azay fanim and may azas panim, may it be pleasing in front of you, Hashem, my God and the God of my ancestors, that you should save me today and every day. May azay fanim. Azay fanim is what? Azay fanim are arrogant and brazen people. Umay azas panim, and God should save me from arrogance and brazenness. May Adam ra, may Chavay ra, may Shachin ra, from a bad person, from a bad friend, from a bad neighbor. Umi pegara, what's a pegara? A bad incident. Umi Satan hamashchus. We'll have to talk about what Satan hamashchus means. Satan hamashchus, mi din kasha, a harsh judgment. Umi bal din kasha, and a harsh litigant opposing me in judgment. Whether he is a member of the covenant or not a member of the covenant. Why do we say this here? What is this tefillah? This is a tefillah from Gemar Brachos, Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the editor of the Mishnah, one of the last great leaders of the Jewish people when they were in Eretz Yisrael, before the community in Eretz Yisrael really fell apart, one of the last of the Tanaim. And the Gemara in Brachos Tezayin says that different Tanam would add special tefillos, Tanam and Amaron, at the end of their Shmona Esrei. In fact, after we finish the formal Shmona Esrei of HaMivarech HaSamo Yisrael Bashalom, we then add a whole long paragraph of Elokai Nitzar. That was in fact the private prayer of Mar Bar Ravina, one of the last, some say really the last of the Amaron, the last of the scholars of the Gemara. And here we have the private tefillah that was added by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Judah the Prince, after his Shmona Esrei. Why do we add it here? So it's interesting is, some suggest that when you count up all the Birchos HaShachar, you have 18 brachos. Aside from one that was added later, you have 18 brachos of Birchos HaShachar, so it's almost as if that there's a Shmona Esrei later in the davening. That's the Shmona Esrei of the world of Atzilus, Alpi Kabbalah, very, very intimate audience with God. And then what we have in the morning, brachos, is 18 brachos of Asiya, of accomplishing, of connecting to the physical world. And so after the 18 brachos, the Shmona Esrei of Birchos HaShachar, of the world of Asiya, of connecting to the physical world, we have this prayer. And this prayer of Rabbeinu HaKadosh really is quite depressing. It's really asking Hashem to save us from all of these dangers. And what's interesting is we just asked Hashem to save us from certain spiritual dangers, but these dangers are a little bit different than the spiritual dangers that we were talking about in the Brach of HaGomel Chasadim Tovim. First of all, it's interesting, Mefarshim point out that this tefillah is said B'lashon Yachid. This tefillah is said as an individual, Shatatzileini, save me today. Doesn't say save us. The prayer before was Hagomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, right? The prayer before was said in plural. This is said B'lashon Yachid, as individuals. And what Rabbeinu HaKadosh is asking us, is asking Hashem for, is basically protection from a hostile environment. And, putting it in historical context is very important here. As we said, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the editor of the Mishnah. He was one of the last great Tanoim from Eretz Yisrael. And after Rabbeinu HaKadosh, soon after, the majority of the, really the nexus of the Torah world moved to Babylonia. from Israel. And that's why we know when it comes to the Talmud, the Mishnah was from Israel. That was written in Israel. But the Talmud, there was a Jerusalem Talmud. Most people do not study the Jerusalem Talmud. We study the Babylonian Talmud. Why? Because the greater scholarship, the center of Torah scholarship, was really in Babylonia, no longer in Israel. And it was a very tough time because there was very hostile Roman governments. We know Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a unique relationship with the Roman leader at the time. We're not sure if that was a Roman governor or if it was in fact the emperor. Some say it was in fact the person referred to as Antoninus in the Gemara that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a close relationship to. Some say that was in fact Marcus Aurelius, the great Roman emperor. Others say that it was just a governor at the time. But what's interesting is that after, there was very, very harsh persecutions. We know Rabbi Akiva was killed, the Asara Harugei Malchus that we're going to, unfortunately, if Mashiach doesn't come, we're going to read about them on Tisha B'Av, the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 great sages that were killed by the Roman authorities in the land of Israel. And actually in Babylonia, there was much less persecution. Next year, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the persecutions that did happen in Babylonia and how that was connected to a different part of davening. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh, although he had that close relationship with a Roman governor, Roman emperor, the Jewish people as a whole had suffered tremendous religious persecutions. And here Rabbeinu HaKadosh, at the end of his Shemoneh Esrei, what would he ask Hashem for? He would ask Hashem just for the opportunity to be safe and to serve him. And after the brachos that we say every morning, the Birchos HaShachar, again, these are the 18 brachos about connecting to this world. These were the completion of the 18 brachos of how a person fits in the Olam HaGashmi, in the realm of physical existence. There are dangers in the realm of physical existence. And that's what this Yehi Ratzon is about. It's about asking Hashem to protect us from these dangers. And we say to protect us today, Hayom uvechol yom. And this is a famous idea we've said many times from Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that every day there are existential dangers to a human being. We know Rav Aaron Soloveitchik himself, he suffered horrific strokes from the final decades of his life. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was paralyzed in his left side and was racked with pain constantly. And he said that a human being recognizes the frailty of our existence. And we ask Hashem, Hayom v'chol yom. We have to ask Hashem today and every day. We have to ask Hashem to be safe. But what's interesting is, first we start me'azefanim. We recognize there's a certain danger from brazen and chutzpahdik people. And in fact, there's a very interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, you know, in Pirkei Avos, the what number Mishnah? Some say it's 20, some say 22, some say 24. But the Mishnah in Avos says, "As panim leGehenim," that people that are arrogant and brazen, they are going to go to Gehenim. So what does that mean? Why dafka as panim leGehenim? Anyone who sins goes to Gehenim, right? So it's a famous story that in Radin, in the yeshiva by the Chafetz Chaim, there was once a boy who... Sorry about that. Sorry, got thrown off. That there was once a boy who... There was once a boy who was very, very chutzpahdik to his landlady. Very, very chutzpahdik to his landlady. And when the Chafetz Chaim heard about this, that he acted in such an arrogant, chutzpahdik way to his landlady, Chavetz Chaim kicked him out of yeshiva. And one of the rabbeim in Radin, one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva were very surprised. Like, what's pshat? The Chavetz Chaim was famous that even certain scenarios of people that were Michal Shabbos, students that were Michal Shabbos, Chavetz Chaim didn't kick them out right away. But why did he kick out the person who acted with chutzpah to his landlady? So the Chavetz Chaim said, quoted this mission, and he asked the Rebbe, he said, what's pshat? As panim legehenim. That an arrogant, brazen person goes to Gehenim. Everyone who sins goes to Gehenim, right? Unless you do tshuva. So can't an Azpanim also do tshuva? He says, the problem is when someone has such chutzpah and arrogance, they never see that they have a problem. They never see that they have to change anything. and unfortunately just infects other, and it's such a problem. And they have a certain chutzpah. They'll do things, shocking, horrific things. They don't respect the tzelem elokim, the divine image in every human being. So a person that's an azei panim, a person that really is brazen, has such horrific arrogance, there's no telling what such a person could do. And even when you give them a second chance, Chavetz Chaim says, az panim l'gehenim, because they're not going to do tshuva. So that's why when we ask Hashem to save us today and every day, me'azei panim, we recognize there's a certain danger from very arrogant, brazen people that don't respect the dignity of another human being, which is certainly obviously a very timely and important lesson for all of us during the 3 weeks and everything that has been going on. Me'azei panim, and we ask Hashem to save us from arrogance. We say Hashem because so often an arrogant person doesn't know they're arrogant. An arrogant person, that's what we just said, they don't feel that they have to change anything. So we have to ask Hashem not only to save us from the danger of being preyed upon by an arrogant, brazen, chutzpahdik person, but also that we shouldn't fall into such a challenge, God forbid, ourselves. You know, I remember when I was in social work school, Professor Kastex, our professor, spoke about how Rahmana Litzlan, very often children who were abused became abusers themselves, abused their own children. And she shared with us, growing up in Mexico, how she was horrifically, horrifically abused. I won't get into the whole story. And she said that every morning when she woke up and every night when she went to sleep, Professor Kastex prayed to God that God should give her the strength that she shouldn't touch her child. She had one son, she shouldn't touch her child, she should just love her child and not hurt her child. It was like an amazingly powerful class. I still remember Ad Hayom Hazeh. The class was 24 years ago, right? And Ad Hayom Hazeh, I still remember how she spoke about that. So even if Chas V'Shalom were preyed upon by an abusive, arrogant, chutzpahdik person, Hashem, I don't want to become that. Make sure, Hashem, please help us. And then we say, Hashem, save us. May Adam Ra, may Chavir Ra, may Shachin Ra. We said that in the paragraph before, but here again, we're saying it as an individual, afraid perhaps that we won't have the protection of the Zechus HaRabim, of the Zechus of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we ask Hashem in our own individual lives, the people that we come across, may Adam Ra, may Chavir Ra, as we said from the Babavar last week, that not all your friends, a friend could be a bad friend for you, not be a bad person. May Shachin Ra, a Shachin Ra is just a bad neighbor. And again, sometimes, you know, they say fences make good neighbors. Sometimes a person could be a good person, but in terms of a Shachin Ra, the way they relate to you, you relate to them, it could be a negative experience. Umi Pegara, what is a Pegara? Rav Pegara is essentially an accident. A Pegara means a Pega is an unexpected occurrence, an unexpected meeting, an unexpected encounter. Umi Pegara means a bad accident. Mamish, that's what he's saying. Hashem, save us from a bad accident today, right? Umi Satan Hamashchis. What is the Satan Hamashchis? Satan is an enemy, an adversary, an antagonist. Hamashchis, that's destructive. Hashem, please save me from a destructive enemy, destructive antagonist today. Rav Schwab, in his commentary on the Siddur, and it's so interesting, he said he thinks that we should have in mind criminal violence, violent criminals. This is what we should think when we say every morning, when we peg a ra, he says, Rahman al-Tzlan, car accidents, whatever it is, Rahman al-Tzlan, when we peg a ra, you should daven, we should be saved from bad accidents. But when we satan amashchis, Hashem, save us from destructive enemies. Save us, Rahman al-Tzlan, from those that want to do violence to us. And that's what you should have in mind. Umisatan hamashchis. And then midin kasha. What is midin kasha? We ask Hashem to save us from a harsh judgment. So obviously, on one level, you know, you could say it means a din in shamayim, maybe a din in a court case that you might have, right? We know, for example, mishenichnas av mimatim b'simcha, one of the things Chazal talk about is that if you have a judgment, don't go in front of a judge during the beginning of the month of Av, because it's a harsh time for judgment against the Jewish people. Rahman al-Tzlan, this is where we are. But there's also another interpretation, that midin kasha means that we should be saved from how people judge us, that people shouldn't judge us harshly, that people should give us the benefit of the doubt. They should be dan us l'kav zechus, that we should judge, they should judge us favorably. And we know, of course, that if we want people to judge us favorably, of course we ask Hashem, but also, as we learned the Arichus at length, in between Pesach and Shavuos, we have to judge others favorably. But this is umi din kasha. We should be saved from such judgment. Umi bal din kasha. And we should be saved. This is clear. A litigant is a harsh person. That we have a coarse case. We shouldn't have harsh litigants against us. And what's so interesting is, and so tragic, is the very last line of this prayer. Ben shehu ben beris, uben she'eno ben beris. Whether this individual that is a bal din kasha, a harsh litigant against me, is a member of the covenant, is a Jew, or is not a Jew. Because, you know, it's interesting, who is saying this prayer? Again, historical context is very important. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Judah the Prince, he was the leader of the Jewish people. Do we realize just from this prayer what he was going through? Do we realize the struggles that Rabbi Judah the Prince was struggling with as the leader of the Jewish people, having to deal, God forbid, with arrogant people, with difficult people, with baldin kasha, harsh litigants, who knows, attacking the Nasi. But the truth is, every day, again, it's a question, at what point historically did Rabbeinu HaKadosh's prayer make its formal way into the Siddur? But, you know, many say that the Gaonim already added this into the Siddur, that it was from the time of those who came shortly after the end of the Gemara, they put this in as part of davening. So this is a very important tefillah for us, and this is something, again, Rahman al-Atzlan, in a world of crime, in a world of violence, and certainly Rahman al-Atzlan during the 9 days when we know it's not a good time, that Rahman al-Atzlan, Chas v'Shalom, al tiftach peh, bad things just seem to happen, God forbid, we peg ara, that Hashem have a kavana every day, b'chol yom, hayom v'chol yom, from peg ara, God forbid, bad accidents, and from difficult enemies of the Jewish people, God forbid, that want to do us harm. And after this Yiratzon, we come to the Akedah, most Siddurim, not all Siddurim, but most Siddurim then have the Akedah, the section of the Akedah, the story of Avram taking Yitzchak Avinu and binding him on Har HaMoriah as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, why do we say the Akedah? In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the first chapter in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Aleph, Sif Hey. In Orachayim Mamsh, the very first chapter of Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, based on the Torah, says that it's good to say the Akedah every day. And where does it come from? The Mishnah Berurah quotes a couple of ideas, but we know that the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar says that by reading the Akedah every day, you're ma'orer, you're awakening tremendous zechus min shamayim. And we know that the Vilna Gaon said he thinks the source, the Vilna Gaon had this idea, and he thought the source was a Bereishis Rabbah, a Medrash from in the story of the Akedah, that basically Avram Avinu is constantly invoking the zechus of the Akedah to protect us in Shamayim. And this is a tremendous, tremendous zechus that we say the Akedah every morning, because we just spoke about Hashem saving us, mi bal din kasha, from a harsh judgment, from harsh litigants, right? So what zechus do we have? You know what? I might not have my own zechusim, and that's why Shatat Zileini, Hashem, please save me. But you know what? I'm a ben Avram v'Yitzchak. I'm a bas Avram v'Yitzchak. I come from my spiritual ancestors, are Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. And please remember what they both did. Please remember the zechusim that they accumulated, accrued for us. And we know what's so interesting is, what day of the year do we invoke Akedas Yitzchak the most, or what days of the year? Is, of course, on Rosh Hashanah. And what is Rosh Hashanah? It's the Yom HaDin. What did we just say in the paragraph from Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Again, Hashem save us, mi din kasha u mi bal din kasha. Hashem save us from a harsh judgment. What greater zechus do we have to save us from a harsh judgment than Akedas Yitzchak? And that's what the Zohar says, that it's to be ma'or rachamim. It's to awaken divine mercy for the Jewish people to protect us. The Ari HaKadosh says a separate pshat. The Arizal says that the reason why, Arizal, whose yahrzeit was today, shout out to Adam, reminded me late last night that the Arizal's yahrzeit today was today. Hey, Av, thank you, Adam. That the Arizal, he says that, you know why we read the Akedah? Because the Akedah is not supposed to awaken God. It's supposed to awaken us. We're supposed to look at the Mesiris Neshfesh of Yitzchak Avinu. That Yitzchak Avinu was mamash willing to give his life. We look at the incredible Gevurah of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu's whole life was teaching the whole world how you know, killing your children for God was wrong and God didn't want that. And then Hashem tells Avram, oh, go do this. And Avram just goes. I mean, what a submission of his very sense of understanding God. We spoke about this. The commitment to the Emunah Pshut of Avram Avinu with this. And Yitzchak Avinu's willingness to give himself. The Arizal says, you read Akeid every day, not only to be Ma'or Hashem, of course, to awaken divine mercy for us, but to awaken us, wake us up. To what are we living for, right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, he often said that, I heard from my father, B'Shem Rav Aaron, that we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah because you don't know what you're living for until you know what you're willing to give your life for. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're asking Hashem for life. We're asking Hashem, give us a new year, right? Give us gezunt, give us that. What for? What are we doing it for? And so this is obviously a very, very deep meditation that a person can have every day. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that, you should know, in Siman Aleph. He writes, don't just read the Akedah. You have to think about the message of the Akedah, of course, of the Zechus, as the Zohar says, the Zechus of Avram and Yitzchak to defend us, but at the same time to take a lesson of Mesiris Nefesh from Yitzchak Avinu and Avram Avinu, of their total commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam. And in fact, some say that's really what the Akedah is doing here. It's actually a hakdama. It's an introduction to the next part of davening that we're not going to get to right now. Because this year we try to keep this between 15 and 20 minutes. We're already going a little bit late. I apologize with the little pause there in the middle. But the next section of davening is when we're mekabel ol malchus shamayim, when we say Shema as part of Karbanos. This was in a reaction to religious persecution actually in Babylonia in about the 5th century when it got very difficult for the Jews. And we'll talk about that Be'ezus Hashem in our next year together. But basically the next section ends, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, or Mekadesh Shemo Barabim, which is the blessing before you give up your life for God. Asher kadoshanu mitzosav tzivanu l'kadesh shemo barabim, to sanctify God's name in public. That is the blessing a person would say before they gave up their life for God. And some say that the Akedah, we read it every morning as a hakdama, as an introduction to that section that ultimately is going to talk about what it is to make the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the week when we retell the stories, when we bring to the fore of our memory the unfortunate, horrific stories of the Mesiris Nefesh that parents have made for thousands, unfortunately, thousands of years. And we'll just end with one story. It's a story that I normally only tell on Tisha B'Av, and it's a story I probably will tell again on Tisha B'Av. Ezus Hashem will hopefully have I'm not sure, a Zoom link, a Facebook Live to the kinnos that we'll be doing Tisha B'Av morning after davening from like 9:40 till we hope around 1 o'clock. But it's a famous story that the B'lujav Rebbe would say by every bris milah that he went to. The B'lujav Rebbe was in a work camp, and he was cutting wood with another inmate, and there was a children's aksion, a roundup of women and children that were being brought to the camp that he was in, and from there they were being deported, Rahman al-Tzlan, to death camps. And a young woman approaches the B'lujav Rebbe and says to him, tell me, do you have a knife? And the B'lujav Rebbe sees this woman, her eyes are wild, and Nebuch, you know, she just came off an aksion of being rounded up, off the train, is going to be pushed somewhere else. And he starts to tell her, my holy child, my holy daughter, we Jews, we're not allowed to take our lives, because the B'lujav Rebbe thinks that that's what she's going to do. She's going to commit suicide. And the B'lujav Rebbe, you know, is trying to reach her, and then all of a sudden, he feels a thud. He didn't even hear it. A Nazi guard came and smashed the B'lujav Rebbe in the side of the head with like a baton. And he screams, dog, Jew, filthy Jew, what are you talking to her? You shouldn't be talking to her. What's going on? And the B'lujav Rebbe gets himself steadied. He's bleeding from the side of his head. And he says, you know, the woman just asked me for a knife. And I was just explaining to her that we Jews are not allowed to end our own life. and the Nazi guard looks at the woman quizzically, and the woman says, "Your knife, give me your knife." Like, really, the Blozover said she had like feverish eyes, and she sees that the Nazi guard had a knife attached to his uniform. And the guard looks at the Blozover with a wry smile. He takes a knife, gives it to the woman, and, you know, looking at the Blozover, and the Blozover is in such angst, so pained over this. And the Blozover said he didn't even notice. The woman then bends down and picks up a pile of rags, and she opens up. Sorry, every time I tell this story, every time I think about it, I get emotional. She opens up the pile of rags, and there's a little baby boy. And she says, "Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav Tzivanu Al Hamila." And she does a bris milah on her baby boy. And she says, "Almighty, You gave me an uncircumcised child, and now I'm giving you back a Jew." And the woman gives the Nazi guard the knife and gives the Nazi guard her son, and she walks away. And the Blozover would say this at every bris he went to. And he said he couldn't imagine that in Shamayim at that moment there wasn't the same tumult as when Avram Avinu took the knife to Shech Yitzchak Avinu. He couldn't imagine that in Shemaim there wasn't the same tumult. And so God forbid any of us should have such nisyonos. God forbid there should be such nisyonos ever again. But we read the Akedah every morning to remind us of who we are, to remind us, to bimbim over us, to awaken us to tshuva, to awaken us to the koach that we have to be moser nefesh for what's right and what's good in this world. And I hope that we'll be zocha to learn next week together in Yerushalayim and not over a computer. Have a great night, everyone.